Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Stuart, and we're supposed to have Larry on, but so far he hasn't called in. So I think what I want to do, there's a lot going on. And in our ad for the show, we mentioned Psalm 2, The Rich Men, Wars, and To Be or Not to Be. And this is essentially where all of this comes down to the wire. Psalm 2 is, in fact, the basis of all prophecy. And I think maybe that would be the good place to start. And I'm going to try here and call Larry. I don't know if I can find him or not, because I'm not sure exactly why he hasn't called in. So let me try that anyway. And we can talk about Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is the foundation for the entire Latter-day prophecies, as I said. And you don't hear about it. I'm not sure why that is, but it is what it is. And anyway, let's see if we can find out whether Larry's even going to answer the phone. All right. I don't
Hello?
Know if you can hear the ringing. Hi, Larry. Are you there?
Hey, Jared, I've been trying to call you for five minutes. Somehow I'm being blocked from calling out, so I'm glad you called me.
Oh, okay. Well, it wouldn't surprise me that you're being blocked. They're doing everything they can chase down any political reporting of any kind that means anything. And what really bothers me about a lot of this is going on with the Trump administration, and it seems like it's building, not stopping. What makes you wonder? I was getting into the Psalm 2 area, but I think we can get into that in a minute. What's the deal here with what's going on in Washington? I know you've been really following some of the surveillance stuff. Why don't we start there, and then we can get back into Psalm 2 and get into some of that with Henry Groover and Israel and Palestine and the rest of it. What's the latest here on the surveillance?
Well, what's very interesting is the fact that they called the Democrats to the White House, and I think shared some of the data with them. And from the reporting, it seems to indicate that apparently the Obama administration had surveilled Trump and his people since before he was even a candidate. This has been going on for quite some time. And they're now trying to, interview Jared Kushner. You know, he's volunteered to be interviewed. Others have done the same thing. And Michael Flynn has came out and stated that he will testify and tell his story with immunity. And Trump has came out backing him up, saying, yes, with immunity, Michael Flynn needs to tell his story. He knows, and of course, between me and you, Michael Flynn knows where the bodies are buried. So, they're very concerned. The Democrats and, of course, the media, Western media, the Republican establishment, they're all worried about Flynn testifying because he can say what he says. And with immunity, they can't come against him. So it's very interesting where this is going. you know, and at the same time, we've got situations all around the world that are flashpoints.
I noticed. This Flynn thing, though, was he not involved in that Pizzagate pedophile stuff and knew where a lot of the bodies were and a lot of the closets were and that they might get opened? And maybe this is why, you know, you've got the establishment on both sides, Democrat and Republican. And they're not going to want any of this opened up because some of the reports that I have read, you know, that are not necessarily news reports, but people who are, you know, on the inside and know that this Pizzagate scandal goes all the way to Washington. In fact, some people have said that Washington is actually the center of it all. So I noticed, though, they did not grant immunity to Michael Flynn. They said that request was denied. Did you see that?
Yeah, they're trying to block that proposition. In other words, you know, if he testifies without immunity, the powers that be, or the deep state, or however you want to put it, will have available to them ways to come after him and possibly forego his testimony. However, if he gets immunity, if Trump can work it and he does get immunity somewhere or other, then he can explain what he wants to explain to the American people in a public setting, and I guess you could say, using an old term, spill the beans.
Yeah. And what's this deal about a possible attempt to impeach Trump? What are they going to use to impeach him with, the Democrats? I mean, they're coming after him now with everything they've got. I think this is maybe their last opportunity, so to speak, to bring him down.
Yeah, it seems like there seems to be a massive push by the Democrats and the, of course, when you say the Democrats, you know, I guess you could call their media wing mainstream media. I used to call it, you know, the Clinton News Network or Obama's media. It didn't matter. They all fit the same hand, you know, you know, they're all going after him now. It seems like there's a push, though, coming out of the Democrats now to go ahead and try to bring Trump down through an impeachment or some type of process if they can. And they still are trying the old song and dance called the Russia connection. They're not going to let that go. They can't, Stuart. They've got to do what they got to do. They've put themselves out too far, and they know there's no going back now.
Yeah, because there's absolutely nothing to the Russian connection that anybody has found. Clapper said so, FBI said so, just about everybody has said there's nothing there. So I guess you're right. I mean, the major media, which is, of course, progressive media, is nothing but communist media. And this is as I've said before, this is a communist coup attempt. And I was listening to an insider, I don't know on what show he was on, but he was talking about that if a coup attempt is made, a counter coup by the military might be in the offering. What would be the ripple effects to this, do you think, if we'll say they make a move on Trump? Even though it's outlandish, even though it's totally a false narrative, do they have enough support to do it?
Well, as you asked me a question a number of times, why all the generals? You know, why is Trump surrounding himself with generals? And I told you my answer was survival, absolute survival. And, you know, he's assigned now a military man over the Secret Service. So he now has a general running the Secret Service. This is all going military. And so what's the odds, you know, if they do begin their coup to bring Trump down, we may see a military move that no one expects. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you, Stuart. I would rather have a Council of Generals run this whole nation as a set under one more day of Obama or any days of Hillary ever.
Yeah, I mean, we would already be in our FEMA death camps if Hillary had gotten reelected. There was no question she was going to move and move very rapidly to silence all that is good in this country. But there again, Trump has come in, and we've had our little delay, if that's what you want to call it, and the Cyrus effect, the possible Esther effect, I guess one could call it, where the camps are first going to be opened up to the politically left, the communist coup people. This could get real, real nasty, real quick to an awful lot of people. And if we lost to the communists, then it's the Christians that are going in, and the Bill of Rights, and the constitutionalists, and anybody that would disagree with the New World Order. The rich men have tried this for years. They're not going to simply let it go. And there's more and more stuff surfacing that is very disturbing to me, and I'd like your comments on it, on Trump. Number one, he evidently is siding now with a two-state solution. And remember all the rhetoric and visions that people have had that if Israel is split in two, the United States will be split into two. And we know approximately that where that would probably happen, and that would be along the New Madrid fault line and up through the Mid-Continent Rift all the way up through to Lake Superior, which it would all but destroy the United States if something like that were to occur, because of all the gas lines, pipelines, and everything else, transportation, everything would be shut down. It would be a real mess. And just about everything would come to a screeching halt if that were to occur. Then some of the other things that are kind of bothersome is he was going to name the Islamic Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, and he's totally backed off that. And the third thing is, I'm hearing and reading about a massive influx of, how do we say, male refugees of about the military age that they would be for a fifth column, and that seems to be going underway without with even more people coming in. So there hasn't been no reprieve basically there. I know I heard that there was a 60% reduction or something in people coming in, but that's not what people are reporting all over the country. I don't know if you saw that video of that woman who was in on those UN briefings and how Social Services is connected up with the UN and relocating all these men that are of military age. So I'm not sure what's going on there. What's your take on that?
Well, my original take on that is, if people are relying on Trump to cure this nation, heal this nation, protect totally this nation, then they're looking at the wrong person. The only reason that God's people will survive a few more days, I can tell you, is be the Lord himself intervening in the way he chooses. And it might be, you know, a lot of times we don't realize intervention because we can't see beyond the veil. We don't know what's coming at us. But sometimes intervention could be a civil war. Sometimes intervention could be a natural disaster. Sometimes intervention could be a cosmic effect. Sometimes intervention could be a world war. You know, we don't know. But I do believe that I think that we've had a window. I think otherwise Obama's third term would already be in effect, and there would be a lot of changes already that we could not have stopped. But
yes.
Will the Lord allow Trump to go down before he even accomplishes what he's set to accomplish in the Middle East? I don't know, but I still think that he's going to remain in power a while longer. I think he's going to fight them. I don't think he's going to surrender or leave willingly at all. Matter of fact, the tables may turn in on them like they cannot believe. But, you know, intervention comes in different forms.
Yes.
I do believe, though, that during the, since the actual election itself, we have been getting, people have made choices. And I'm sorry to say that I'm not sure that people can now change their minds. I think that we have become a mindset of you either really wrap yourself around what, you know, the Creator is doing in your midst, or you hate what He's doing in your midst, and He is counting the votes. And so when that count is over, I think there's going to be a change made in this country and all the way around the world, but that goes further to say. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot operating in the Middle East. Now, I heard Trump, you know, you said something about that he would agree with a two-state solution. I heard Trump
Yes.
tell that, and what he said was he would agree to a two-state solution if both parties agreed that's what they wanted. In other words, whatever you guys want, you can have. In other words, Israel, if you want it, you got it. But if you don't want it, you don't have to take it. So he's optional there. However, mm-hmm. there are moves already moving to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And I've been reading this little book. You know, we were talking about the little book by Henry Gruber about some things at the end times, rebirth of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting. And you had mentioned Psalm 2, and I didn't get to hear the first of it because something was blocking both my phones. I could not call the show, and until you called, I had tried over and over and over. So, but
no,
one thing I wanted to mention, though, is kind of... Huh?
Go ahead. Well, I
was just
really going to
mention, I didn't hear all...
At all. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, do you want to do that, and then I'll comment. Yeah.
Because you're into Israel, and because Netanyahu now has said, I'm going to make some settlements, and everybody's up at arms over that, does that kind of fit into what Gruver is implying, that the whole world comes against Israel in that vision that Henry had,
oh,
I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. You want me to go into that?
Yes, go ahead. Read it, yeah.
Okay, let me read this real quick because you're going to talk about Psalm 2, and I found this very interesting in Henry's book. Basically, I'll read it real quick. It's Psalm 83, 1 through 5, and it goes along with Psalm 2 in a way. It says, keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make atonement, and they hate they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And I find that interesting. And now Henry Gruber, basically wrote a small book talking about a covenant, an original covenant, and he goes on, and I want to read some parts of it here. It's really interesting,
yes.
You know, because he talks about the Palestinians and where that may go to, and, you know, we're talking about Trump and a move back in the Middle East again. And so one of the things that is so interesting, Henry Gruber pointed out, was... he says that, I believe that God has been gathering the tribe of Judah. Yes, there is a mixed multitude over there. There always has been a mixed multitude. If we are in this time frame and we really believe that Zechariah 14 is on the way, where our Lord is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, we have to believe we're in that generation, don't we? We have to believe that we're heading for the closing, the grand finale of the times of prophecy concerning the church. We're approaching the close of the church age. And then he goes on. He says, we have been brought in as the body of Christ, and they have stayed rebellious and ignorant all these centuries, so that God might bring a glorious church forth. It is of utmost importance that we keep that in mind. Israel, Judah, is still operating fully under Old Testament law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. All too often, we try to put those natural descendants into our New Testament thinking of mercy and truth, but their way of life is not our way. However, we live under the shadow of the UN that wants Israel to conform to its mandate for Tel Aviv to be the capital of Israel. But God's word says Judah and Jerusalem, not Judah and Tel Aviv. World leaders get together and try to force Israel to retreat back to Tel Aviv and give Jerusalem to the Islamic people. They're convinced that this would guarantee peace in the Middle East. And then he begins to, it's a small book, but he's got a lot of data in there. Let me swing over here and I want to read this one. He says, he gives this warning. He says, if we think that the Twin Towers was bad, it was nothing, people. It was just a wake-up call compared to what America will experience overnight when these next verses that we're going to read start happening. If we send our ambassador to Geneva, Switzerland, remember that. There will be an emergency session of the UN in Geneva, not New York City. And I will say, thus saith the Lord in this, and that's Henry Gruber, if we send our ambassadors to Geneva to condemn, along with the rest of the world, what is happening in Israel, there will be no mercy for us. And then he goes on, he gets a lot of verses, but I can't read them all. He says, he was also sent to the UN by the Lord, and he said, my mouth opened, and the words came forth as though the General Assembly was in session, which it wasn't. He said, there were words of warning to the nations that this people you called Israel is my chosen Judah, and the killing of the Palestinians will be done by the Lord of hosts, your God, says Zechariah 12:5, and every nation that cast its vote against Israel will be cut to pieces, says the Lord God of Israel. Now also, I want to read this real quick. He said, it is time Judah come forth, Zechariah 12:6. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And then he commented, he said, think about that. What is the Lord saying here in verse 6? If you go from Jerusalem to Gaza, there are 14 territories right on the edge of Jerusalem. There are 14 territories given to the Palestinians all the way to Gaza. The fulfillment of this verse will be horrifying on the news when these people, which are as David, and those that are as David, as God, go in and do a purging of the Palestinians. What that means is that every man, woman, boy, and girl will be wiped out. The media will call it an ethnic cleansing. They will call for an emergency session in Geneva, Switzerland, to condemn this bunch of renegade people called Israel. That is why verse 3 puts out the solemn warning. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. You got a comment?
Yeah. That sounds like that could happen about any time, because if I recall right, one of the Israeli, maybe it was their defense minister, who made a comment that one of these days they were going to go in there and there wasn't going to be any more missiles coming out of there, which would be indicating that they're going to go in and wipe out everybody and take everything out. Now, remember that happened long ago in Israel's history where they were told to go in and vanquish a certain group and wipe out babies, young children, older children, women, and adults. Didn't matter. Clean them out. Kill them all. I don't think people realize how horrific judgment is. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, as Henry Gruber said in that book that I read a while ago, a few passages from, you know, what he said was that Israel believes it still lives in the Old Testament. They don't know to do any other way. I know the church condemns everything they do. Every time they fight back or fire, you know, drop a bomb where somebody had fired a missile on them, everybody criticizes them. But, you know, they don't live in the New Testament in Israel. They live in the Old Testament. And so why would their thinking change overnight? You know, if they're presented with an unsolvable problem and the Lord moves and gives them the unction, use that term, the unction to remove that problem, do you not think they would do that? Matter of fact, you were talking about that new defense minister named Lieberman, a Russian that had moved over there, and now he did come out and say that. And also, there's been some generals lately and some ministers in the cabinet of Israel lately that are saying that not only if Gaza does start this next war, they're saying this will be the last Gaza war ever. And they are also saying that Hezbollah out of Lebanon, when they begin to have to fight Hezbollah, and they're preparing for it today even, that they will make sure that Lebanon will be as it was 100 years ago.
Wow. Well, don't we have some troop movements coming down towards the border, the northern border of Israel, from Syria and whatnot? I know they have.
Yeah, matter of fact, ironically, you remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you remember when we talked to Stan Dale, he talked about a guy by the name of Soleimani, from Solomon, Soleimani. He was an Iranian general, that he was watching him, and he was also watching somebody, the Mohammed Salman, I believe it was, in Saudi Arabia for some end-time events. But Soleimani now has moved an Iranian and Syrian army all the way down. He's moved it to the south to near Israel's border with Syria. And actually, they've done this against Putin's request. Putin requested them to not move south, to move out of Syria, and they're actually doing it against what Putin wanted. So this is a clear and present danger, if you want to use that terminology, to the peace and safety or the survival of Israel. And you've also got ISIS in the Sinai in the north, and you've got ISIS in, the Golan with some more Syrian troops. So there's an armada massed already on the northern. And you can see now why Israel is bringing out, they're calling up their reserves. A lot of their reserve and tank forces now and missiles, they've got setting off of Gaza, and they also have beefed up the northern border for possible attacks. So they're getting ready. You know, I just put out a post today by Bill Koenig, who's got a lot of people and feelers in Israel, and they're saying the war is about to start with Hezbollah. So we're getting there.
Mm. Well, it seems like we're getting there on all kinds of fronts, like the Armageddon script. We got the North Korean situation, and then we had Mad Dog say we got to do something. I mean, here they are actually announcing publicly, well, we got to do something about this guy over there. I'm not exactly sure why the rhetoric is all going so public, because Trump himself said you're not going to have any idea what I'm going to do. And yet here's Mattis saying, well, we got to stop North Korea. Well, how are they going to stop North Korea? You got any concepts on that? It seems to me that could be really deadly if they make one mistake. And then you've got Dr. Doom and his nuke and anger, which could then stir up nukes all over the place. You've got China, who has said they will defend North Korea. We have the South China Sea. They're militarizing all of those islands they've built out there. You've got the situation with China wants to devour Taiwan. And I think we do have a treaty with Taiwan for defense?
I believe that we do, with the exception of we don't have forces in that region. They could probably take Taiwan before we could get anything there, actually. But yeah, you're right. Mattis came out publicly and says we've got to stop North Korea, and we've got to stop them now. And General Votel, CENTCOM commander, came out publicly and says we need to stop North Korea, and we need to do a preemptive strike on the Iranian regime and the Iranian forces in the Middle East. So And you asked me, why would they do that publicly? Because Trump had said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. The only thing I can think of, Stuart, is that's a warning to the American people. You better get ready.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I think we are being told, you better prepare yourselves, folks, out there. If you haven't already, you better do so. Store up on your rice, your soups, your oatmeals, and the grains and stuff that you're going to use to survive. Wasn't it David Wilkinson who had that vision where even the banks closed down for, I think it was 6 months? There was a banking holiday. And I just don't understand why the people, I don't know, maybe they don't believe it. And I remember Noyes, that ne'er-do-well, erstwhile Native American shaman lady who said, stock market goes to zero. I mean, you and I can't even wrap our minds, or I don't think anybody could wrap their minds around the fact that the stock market goes to zero and the entire banking system is shut down. Can you imagine the bedlam?
Yeah.
That would create the chaos that would create.
Oh, and it would do it overnight.
It would, yeah. Yeah, okay, let's get into Psalm 2 here a little bit. I did some study on it, but I want you to interrupt anywhere you want to make a comment. Just jump in. I'm going to start with Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And I'd like to make a comment here. That you don't hear anybody in the prophetic circles talking about Psalm 2. It's like you were saying, you got Psalm 1, and then we have a Mandela effect, and Psalm 2 disappears, and it goes right to Psalm 3. It's like it doesn't exist, and yet it's one of the most important psalms in the Bible because of what it says.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like a Mandela effect. You know, it's almost like any ministers you hear anymore, it's Psalms 1, and then they begin to read Psalm 3. It's like 2 doesn't exist anymore. They don't see it. But that really is the basis of the whole war. That's the whole basis of the war against the Lord and His anointed.
Yes. Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together, saying the Lord against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, this whole thing, no matter what it looks like, is an attempt through the United Nations and mystery to rid the world of the concept of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and all the people that follow Him. This is a Christian persecution psalm. They don't want the Ten Commandments, and they want to break those bands of morality and ethical conduct, and they just want to get rid of it all, and anything goes. So here we go again. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them, rather, in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. That kind of indicates that he's really upset, don't you think? Because this is his wrath.
Absolutely.
So now we have to go into the book of Revelation, and we look at the various judgments. And a lot of people fail to realize that the sealed judgments, it is Jesus Christ Himself that unseals the sealed judgments. So it's almost as though God the Father is saying to His Son, you go ahead and have at it with the seals, and then I'll take over from there. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I think you're right, and I think that something happens where the wrath kicks in. And, you know, I know when people read Psalm 2, they don't put it together with it as an ongoing war. They almost want to think it's a prophetic battle somewhere off in the great, great future. But it's not. It's been going on forever. And it's still going on. But there's a point to where, the Creator will unleash wrath on this planet and this people, the human race. And
yes.
There's just no way around it. I mean, that's exactly what the scriptures indicate.
Yeah, I don't think people really, and I've never quite understood this, because you were a police officer, so you've seen probably everything you probably wanted to see and a whole lot you didn't want to see about the nature of humanity. And for some reason, they can look around, they see the murders, the rapes, the thefts, the torture, the betrayals, and all of this corruption. And yet, people refuse to say there's something wrong with humanity. There's something wrong here. This is not right. So the people, humanity, by and large, has already begun really now to gather themselves together for the grand apex of this war. As you said, it's been going on probably since Jesus Christ came into the world. That's when the Antichrist spirit began to arise. And it's been going on ever since, but it is reaching an apex now. I mean, we were talking about this off air. It was kind of funny. People hate Donald Trump. They just hate him. They don't have any particular reason for hating him. They just hate him. They hate him without cause, basically. Now, when Jesus came down here, they hated him too. And they hated him without cause. I mean, here was this guy going around doing good, healing people, soft-spoken, loved children, was a great guy to be around. And the world hates him. And it's really, really kind of a strange thing to watch. Okay, so here's what it says. After he vexes them with his wrath, he said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That kind of tells it all. Do you remember Comet Lovejoy?
Yes.
How it kissed the Son and survived.
Huh.
And every scientist said we were going to lose it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a message to the rich men of the earth, actually. Kiss the Son. And it did, and they survived. It survived. And if they would kiss the Son of Man, they would likewise survive. But they're not going to. We know they're not going to. So the thing we need to focus on, folks, is this part about the kings of the earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. I've mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again. There aren't any exceptions to this. It doesn't say except for so-and-so, except for this person, except for that. This is a whole conglomeration of world leaders who are secretly gathered together with an agenda and a plan to rid the earth of the Christians and the concept of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we got the rich man. Then you go into Deuteronomy 28. And interrupt here anytime you want, Larry. The stranger that is within thee, this is a curse now, shall get up above thee very high. Thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, thou shalt be the tail. That's the international banking cartels. That's the Federal Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
And right. So they are the ones who lend to nations. And the international bankers, the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, all of these people are part of this curse. And you go into verse 45, Deuteronomy 28:45. Moreover, all of these curses, including this banking cartel sham, shall come upon thee, they shall pursue thee, they shall overtake thee, thou shalt be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded thee. So there's your answer. That's why the rich men of the earth, that's why the banking cartels, the feds run this country, and every person in this country is actually a financial slave to these bankers. So it all ties back to Psalm 2, economics, and the rich men of the earth. Then you go over to James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you. Ye shall eat your, and it shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasure for the last days. Isn't that an interesting comment, Larry, that they've heaped together this treasure for the last days, knowing, therefore, there really are going to be last days?
Exactly. Yeah,
I
find it interesting, Stuart,
yeah.
That...
Go ahead.
I was just going to insert right here and ask you to comment on this. You remember just before... Obama left office. Remember how he went to Israel to, I believe it was Perez's funeral, and stood before Israel and announced that Jerusalem was not in Israel, period. And then he came back, and remember that one of the first things Donald Trump did after inauguration was set in motion a situation with Jerusalem and Israel.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, it's like the last few planks or boards, as you would call it, you know, like the communist coup that Obama was working. It's like it was almost a done deal. Trump has been the only interrupter or intruder into that plan to slow it down or stop it for a pause. And I believe we're in that pause. But also I believe that more interestingly, what happens in America is the fact that what does Trump do in the Middle East? What is his focus as Osiris in the Middle East doing? And at the same time, I remember Henry Gruber's warning, if by chance, you know, we send our representatives to the UN and meeting in Geneva after Israel makes its move in this war to vote against Israel with all the other nations, then Henry Gruber says, we're done. No more mercy. We're done. And so I wonder, did the pause stop? Did something happen to Trump just before that is to occur? Or will he last to the point where he tells this Nikki Haley that's over the UN, that's denying, you know, all of this Israeli hatred that the UN has right now and battling that, is Trump still in office, or does somebody come in and have forced him out, or they've gotten rid of him and we're under someone that goes ahead and sends the representatives, and we fall into the wrath, so to speak?
Well, this would be kind of, you know, the American people's view of the Lord, and I think probably this is worldwide, you know, is if they even believe in the Lord, what Israel would do if they went in and eliminated the Palestinians, babies, children, women, adults, the world would recoil in absolute shock at that. So now here's Donald Trump, who's been in support of Israel, and they do this. I don't know why they're going to do it or even if that vision is true, but I think it is because that's part of that Zechariah comment. So I would therefore put some stock in Henry's vision about that. And Trump would be under immense pressure if he's president to vote on the side of the world against Israel. And maybe this is the trap. Maybe this is the absolute trap. You know, the Lord knows how to trap people. He's pretty good at it, actually. Had a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So, he could be setting this whole thing up. And, you know, like he says in Jeremiah, Israel is the land that God is going to use, or the nation God is going to use, to bring the entire world civilization down upon their ears. So this is, I think this is all part of it. So we get back to the question of Isaiah 17. Does it come first? Does Daniel 8 come first in 17? But we do know that we have 17, we have Daniel 8, and then we have Ezekiel 38 and 39, and that is about the termination point for the civilizations of the world. Getting back to James, comment anywhere, behold, the hire of the laborers, i.e. the workers who go to work and for the various companies today, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. So here we have the IRS withholding your wages, and the Bible says it's a total fraud. And of course it is. There's a fellow who wrote a book, The Law That Never Was, and the ratification of the Constitution in that particular area was never accomplished. And so the entire IRS is actually fraudulent from start to finish. And it's funny to me that it's actually mentioned in the scriptures as being fraud, that they have no right to hire any of this. And then they say about the rich man, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, you have been wanton, you have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter, you have condemned and killed the just. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, has long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. So we have really an entire list of who these people are that are causing all of the trouble on planet Earth. We can sum it all up and say they are the rich men of the earth. And in Revelation chapter 18, which talks about the destruction of the United States for in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster, all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. And if you go down then to verse 23, this is where you find out who's behind it. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So here you got the merchants. And if you look up the word great men, it means lords of the earth, the kings and the rulers, the lords. It was all by the power of their money. And it's odd that it shows up actually in the book of Enoch. It says here, now this is a reading from the book of Enoch, chapter 46, verse 5. They shall condemn the stars of heaven, shall lift up their hands against the Most High, shall tread upon and inhabit the earth, exhibiting all their works of iniquity, even their works of iniquity. Their strength shall be in their riches, and their faith in the gods whom they have formed with their own hands. They shall deny the name of the Lord of spirits, and shall expel him from the temples in which they assemble. Doesn't that about say it all?
Oh my, yeah.
So I think we're about at this point. If you follow the money trail, we started with barter, we go to coin, then we go to paper debt money and central banking. They in turn issue credit cards and debit cards, which in turn are then formed into some sort of a social credit system and a mark. So then you go to Revelation 13, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So you can see how all of this is forming now right under our face. And it's amazing that people don't put it together. They don't see it, even though this is coming down exactly as what we have read here. What say you?
Well, I agree with you, and I'm like you, very concerned that the American people now being available to them is the data that we're all surveilled and have been for some time. Snowden put it out. Of course, people won't watch the movie because it's named Snowden, but he really let loose a lot of information there, and now they've come out and really shown that this surveillance is occurring. That we have no privacy. That any time I try to make a call, it's recorded. Of course, we knew that. And anything we type on our computer or, you know, any device we've got is all recorded. So I'm shocked as you, Stuart, that the American people simply don't appear to care.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking this probably has a lot to do with, how do I say, apostasy. That we are so apostate in this country, and almost all the churches, you talk about prophecy, they just roll their eyes and throw you out of church because they don't want to hear that kind of stuff. And on it goes. Well, then if you won't face the reality of the truth that God is trying to say, I guess you got to go through it all without any protection from the Lord. Because really what's going on here in America is we are giving the finger to the Lord. We are mocking him in just about every area of life that you can come up with. I mean, look at Roe versus Wade. I mean, really, that's murder one. I don't care whether people like that or not. It's murder one. Right?
That's very true. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very true. And I think you're right. I think it's part of the delusion that has affected people. Maybe it's denial tea they're drinking too. You know, it's almost like most of the American people have passed the point of really realizing what's happening. It's almost like they couldn't turn back. And I don't know if any of them can. I think that a lot of people now, Stuart, unless we have, unless it's an individual repentance, which that's a non-word, that's not even in the dictionary, I guess, anymore, but you don't hear it anywhere. Unless it's an individual case, it doesn't appear that there's going to be any more than that. You know, it's almost like everybody's already made a decision spiritually which way they're going to go.
Well, yeah, the only thing we can hope for and pray for is that when this thing really breaks open, people make their choice. I remember the vision you had about the door closing, and at the very end, people were trying to rush in. And, of course, obviously, the door goes shut on the age of grace, and it's over. And the people that are left without are left without. And I think it was Augusto that talked about the vision he had where a young girl had, where people were climbing on board these UFOs, and a lot of people couldn't make it, couldn't get on, and Jesus was in tears and said, "I can't." The little girl asked, "Well, save these people," and he says, "I can't. I can't. They wouldn't. Yeah. They wouldn't come." And yeah. I don't know what the answer to all of this is, other than the fact that the Lord really, in spite of the horrific judgment that's coming upon us, is still a Lord of mercy. But what do you do with the comatose people? You know, you have to hit them over the head with a 2x4, I guess. They're kind of like a mule that doesn't want to doesn't want to move. So I don't know. But what we have here, then, for everybody listening, we have this war on cash. They're closing down all the usage of cash. They're doing it around the world, not just here in the United States. We haven't really felt too much of it yet. But there is a definite war on cash, and very soon there will no more be cash transactions. It's going to all be digital, and it'll either be by computer, phone, or in person, because you will be marked and approved to function in this new world order. And I guess what can one say? Larry, I mean, this is where we are. We are right on the verge of all of this. Here's a little article we could maybe talk about. War between the United States and China is brewing in the South China Sea. Have you heard any more about that? They are constructing major artificial islands out there, and they're militarizing them.
Yeah, they're actually launching pads for missiles now, and we've got a force out there. But I think right now we're really more concerned with North Korea, because we just put some sanctions on the North Koreans today, I believe it was, and they're awaiting response from Kim Jong-un, and so he apparently has approved the big blast or the missile test that he's got set up. So they're just waiting, and Mattis is wanting to preempt that. I don't know which way it's going, but, you know, people need to realize they could wake up one morning and everything has changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How do people reach you, Larry? We got to close down about 30 seconds.
The quickest way is my blog, larrywtaylor.org, and, I've been under attack again recently, you know, with my blog, and also my phones are seeming to have problems now. So, you know, people need to know that.
Yeah. The whole thing is going down. And folks, I hope you pay attention to what we read to you from the scriptures. It's all coming true. And thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next week, the Lord is willing, and we hope he is. So good night, everybody, and take care of yourselves.